Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark. That abrupt interruption was brought to you by Miles. Hello, Miles.
Hello.
We're also joined by Jackie.
Hey.
And the three of us do this podcast usually about the anime JoJo's Bizarre Adventure from 2012 that has come back periodically. But we're all caught up on it. We finished covering part six last April, and we're just kind of hanging out, waiting to see if there's going to be an anime for part seven, whose subtitle, I don't know if I've said in front of you guys. I don't know if you know it. Do you guys know the subtitle for the next arc?
Stone Ocean.
Nope.
Golden Wind.
It's like,
nope.
I don't know, like fucking Armageddon or something. No.
Okay.
Wait, I know it. I know. It's like,
let me give you a hint.
Does it have blood in it?
Nope.
Okay.
No. It's Blood Steel Ball Run.
That's right. Steel Ball Run. I was going to tell you that it went from Diamond is Unbreakable to Gold and Wind to Stone Ocean. Huge drop in gem quality. But then it goes back up. It goes to Steel.
Steel Ball Run makes me think of Pinball.
Oh, well.
That's all I think of.
Jackie figured out what the next arc is about.
Is it about Pinball?
It's all the JoJo characters playing pinball for 18 years. I don't know. I don't remember how long it goes, but
okay.
Anyway, before the Pinball JoJo comes out, we've been covering other anime that we feel like watching or our listeners recommend or what the kids are into. Sometimes we check out the cutting edge new stuff or we watch an anime that was sponsored by our Patreon supporters. And you can learn how to be a Patreon supporter shortly. But now I will reveal the fact that we're going to talk about Batman, Gotham Knight. And I'm not going to put that in the description of this episode. I'm going to call it a mystery bag. I'm not going to do that. It's a terrible
idea.
Yeah,
I think that's bad SEO.
It's extremely bad SEO. What do you think? Wait, what if I stopped putting the anime names in the episode titles and I wrote really good anime?
Do you think people would be like... Really good anime near you.
Really good area in... using a guess area code thing. We've talked about this, right? Those ads that seem like maybe they started to advertise like hot single moms, but then guys were like, well, I don't want to have to drive far. And they were like, fuck, okay. Hot single moms near you.
In your area.
They're like, wait a minute. Can I take the bus to these hot single moms? Okay, so before we talk about Batman, Gotham Knight, an OVA or direct-to-home video anthology from 2008, we need to first take a look in Correspondence Corner.
Anything in there?
Correspondence Corner is not a real physical place. It is either our email inbox or a channel in this podcast's Discord. If you want to send us an email, you can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. We have an email from Spotify saying, hey, you used a bunch of music you don't have the rights to, and we're going to kill you. And I'm going to say...
They're not
going to
kill all of us, are they?
No, just Mark, because it's his account.
Yes, what do you think? You don't know what name I put down. They're going to kill Josuke Higashikata. Ha-ha. So this email we have one email.
No, yep, we have two.
Do we?
Yeah, we have poll and we have, wait, is this right? Hold on.
That's a bullshit.
Oh, you're right. It's a fucking...
It's a bullshit.
It's an ad disguised as a
that's
real
bullshit.
Email.
I thought we got an email from Pol Nareff.
I thought it was from Pol Pot.
Okay, we only have one real email from a real person.
From a real person.
And that's from Chad.
A real hero and a real human being, Chad. Yeah,
and a real one.
And a real one. This email is, as we said, from Chad. And the subject line is, Kono Batman da! I get that reference.
I like it.
What are you? What was that meme for Batman that was like, what are you, dense? Are you stupid? You fucking moron? I'm the goddamn Batman. Anyway.
I don't
enough asides, Mark. Aloha, JJB Pod Ohana. Let's take a look at some JoJo voice connections for the 2008 animated anthology Batman Gotham Knight. Not to be confused with the video games Batman Arkham Knight or Gotham Knights or the TV series Gotham Knights.
This is just one knight. And this is also, this is Knights of the Round Table, not Knight at the Roxbury.
That's right. We got a K in there.
Knight.
Bruce Wayne slash Batman. They're the same character, by the way.
Spoilers!
For stories 1, 2, 4, and 6 is voiced by Tesshō Gendō, who also voiced the fake Captain Tennille from Part 3. I feel like I'm always talking about Tesshō Gendō and the fact that he's like a dinky part in JoJo. But yeah, he seems to be in a lot of shit.
Mm.
And yeah, the chat is talking about the Japanese voice actors. We'll talk about the English ones in a little bit. Mobster Sal Maroni is voiced by Jin Yamanoi, who voiced Part 2 tragic plot device Mario Zeppoli, the late father of young Hamon Master Caesar Zeppoli.
He just plays Italians.
Yeah, ooh. I guess he does. Yeah. He's like, I got this.
I wonder if he does like an Italian accent in Japanese.
Yeah, he watches one episode of The Sopranos. And he's like, konnichiwa.
Oh, well, that's Italian-American. I was thinking, well, yeah, maybe it's, yeah, I guess Italian. I don't know.
Maybe
I guess what you need is Italian-American for these parts. But anyway, well, no, Zeppoli is Italian-Italian.
Italian, right. But Maroni, not so much.
Yeah.
B-Devil, one of the four kids that saw Batman take down a villain, is voiced by the very popular Yuki Kaji, who also voiced Part 4 Jobro and Part 5 special guest Koichi Hirose.
Mm.
If the podcast hosts are looking for more Batman and Batman-adjacent anime, there's also Batman Ninja from 2018. And the soon-to-be-released Suicide Squad Isekai coming this July.
Oh, we should watch that.
Anyway, I hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. Mahalo, Chad. P.S. If anyone is a fan of Superman and wants to see a very anime-influenced approach to the classic hero, with production by a prolific anime-influenced studio, I highly recommend the series My Adventures with Superman. It's available on Max. For now, but who knows how long that'll last, the way stuff on there keeps getting deleted for tax purposes. Effing David Zaslav.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what wasn't on Max? This anthology movie. Why?
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's DC. It's Warner Brothers Animation. I got to make some calls.
I don't know, Mark.
I was kind of sad that we didn't get to hear the Japanese voice actors. Miles, how did you watch this?
In English.
Yeah, we watched
in
English.
American.
I didn't know if there was a Japanese option because of our baby, we have to take the batteries out of remotes sometimes, or she hides the remote.
Or we hide the remotes from her and then we can't find them. And then we're like, well, I guess.
I think she hid this one because it wasn't in the usual places.
Okay.
So I could use like our TV remote to do some of the playback controls, but I couldn't change the fucking language. However, Kevin Conroy as Batman is always perfect. And there's a lot of other good voice actors in this.
He's good, but I don't think he was great.
Are you dumb?
Wait,
I think,
what?
Like, I didn't like how he did Bruce Wayne in this.
Really?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
And I also didn't think that he was like reacting enough to the circumstances. Like, when he was all beat up, he didn't sound that beat up.
Oh, interesting. I don't know if I caught that.
The voice acting in general in this, I didn't think was that good.
I disagree.
Like, I think the direction was not, or something. I don't know. Like, it sounded really corny in English.
Well, one of the things is, because this was first made in Japanese or was done the Japanese way,
mm-hmm.
In Japan, they do the animation first, and then the voice actors come in and match their voices to the lip flaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's not usually how it works for Western voice actors, like American, Canadian, etc. So maybe the fact that they had to do it that way this time around kind of threw them off.
Mm.
But I still disagree with you. I think that Kevin Conroy was great. I think the guy who played Lucius Fox was great. He's the Mahler twins in Invincible.
He's good, yeah.
Kevin Michael Anderson or something is his name? There's yeah.
In
there's
general,
there were some
I love
weaker
Kevin
ones.
Conroy, but I didn't like him in that much in this.
I generally like him a lot too. I used to watch the cartoon.
Yeah, chalk it up to the fact that yeah, it wasn't like in the cartoon, he could just come in, read it exactly how he wanted, and then the animators would match his lead. But in this case, yeah, he had to dub something. So IMDb trivia, by the way, said that when he auditioned for Batman the Animated Series, because he did an audio commentary on the DVD, and I guess he said that for this movie, that when he first auditioned, he did not know who Batman was.
Wow.
And I think at the time it was just called The Dark Knight or something. And when they explained, like, okay, your parents are killed and you're kind of vengeful and blah, 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 he's like, oh, this is like Hamlet. He thought he was going to do like a Hamlet cartoon voice or something.
Wow, what a nerd.
Is he a nerd? Yes. For not knowing comics? He's a trained Shakespearean actor.
He's a different kind of nerd. He's a fucking Shakespeare nerd. Yeah, like, how do you know, true. Like, ah, yes, Hamlet. Like, he's a drama nerd.
Yeah, nerd. Read more comic books.
Yeah. Well, like, everybody knows who Batman is. Like, Batman's not a nerdy thing unless you're like, I've read every single Batman comic, you know?
That's true. Like, you do have to be pretty out of touch.
Batman is like...
Especially in 1990 after the live action came out. Like, everyone knows Batman at that
point.
Which
live action?
The original 1989 Batman, Tim Burton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was huge. Those Batman movies were huge.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he just lived in a rock reading Twelfth Night and Merchant of Venice and shit like that. I looked up reviews of Batman Ninja because I was like, is that what I was thinking of when Miles first said this? It's a 3D anime. It's from Kamikaze Doga, who used to do the 3D JoJo intros for Stone Ocean and I think season one.
Okay.
It has more mediocre reviews. People like this better.
Wait.
What?
Should we talk about our Patreon first?
I haven't gotten into this yet. I'm still going with the...
Okay.
It's tough, you know, because the emails about the anime, you want to respond to the email.
I see. Oh, okay. I thought we were already there.
Nope.
Okay.
I just couldn't help it. Folks, before we actually break down what happened in Batman Gotham Knight, Batman:Gotham Knight, we need to first tell you about our Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JJBpod, you can support this little podcast for as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to the Patreon feed, which includes the occasional bit of deleted audio from the main podcast feed and anything else we feel like putting up there. Occasionally, Miles will grace Patreon supporters with his recommended song of the some period of time. If you support us at the $3 a month or higher level, we will thank you out loud on the podcast, which we are going to do in a second, because I also want to tell you that the Patreon is where you can give us $15 just one time. You don't have to keep staying subscribed. That's ridiculous. And we will watch 3 episodes of an anime of your choosing or an anime film.
A single film.
And we have a bunch. I think we got a bunch of Patreon picks after a while of not getting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone's tax returns came back.
And they're like, I'm going to spend it on paying for podcast episodes.
Let's blow this money. Better than going to Vegas, I say. And we love all those people. And we'll love you if you go to patreon.com/JJBpod. Let's say some heartfelt thank yous.
So thank you, Elijah.
Gen X Anime Dad.
Josh.
Colin.
Clit Rocket.
Shun.
Hentai Homie.
I Love Jojo Ubu.
Daniel.
Soliloquy Jackalope.
Kasun.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Aura.
Kenny.
Mirror Man.
The Stand User, formerly known as Austin.
Tim.
Martin.
Aquosus.
Christian.
And Chad.
And
Chad.
Yeah, great guy.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Is there anything else? Oh, yeah. Miles, you said that Rohan at the Louvre is on Amazon Prime Video?
Yeah, I think I saw it while renting this thing. Let me verify that right now using my computer. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. Computer.
We got to cover that.
Yeah, and it's free on Prime Video.
Oh, my God.
Only rated watch G. I wanted to see his dick.
We got to watch it before it stops being free.
It's That's 2 hours. All right.
Movies keep getting longer and longer these days.
It's Scorsese's fault.
But no movie, no anime movie is longer than 2.5 hours. We know that. There is no 3-hour anime movie.
Really? Yeah, and there shouldn't be.
Yeah, because I looked for that.
When Not we even like Grave of the... That felt like 3 hours.
Should we have we watched that one? We haven't watched that one. We should watch it.
No, we have not. I guess it is a Ghibli, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will it have cute, colorful cat friends?
No. It's not cute. It's anime, but it's...
I think I tried to watch it as a younger person, but I had zero interest in history or anything. So I was like, this is sad and boring. And I stopped.
It was sad and boring. And I was like edgy. So I was like, ha ha. At like 12. What? I was like 12 years old and I was like, they're all dead or whatever. I don't know. I don't even remember how the...
Why would you volunteer this information?
No,
don't tell people that.
Team Jackie.
Everyone needs... I'm reformed.
As a descendant of Filipinos, I was like, whatever. We all suffered in the war.
Well, no, I wasn't like... I don't know. It's just like... You know, it's like... I think it's like a reaction. You know, like you can't cry because you have to be... tough with your friends. I saw it at a sleepover. So
I see. So you're saying
sleepover.
You remember laughing at it because
as a 12-year-old with friends, I couldn't be like you know. So I was like, ha ha, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Think of all the friends. Are they all awful adults now or did they become better people?
I think everyone is the same. Nobody is worse, but nobody's better.
Okay, great.
I do remember, that's one thing I think about with Grave of the Fireflies, is that in one of the AMV hells, which were compilations of little moments of like syncing pop music to anime, it probably used to play at conventions or something, but it was on YouTube. There's one where they play Disco Inferno for a second over footage from Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, no.
So none of us are as edgy as those people.
Oh, no.
And that is still kind of funny. Anyway, not the actual events. That's not funny.
No, but it's a cartoon. You know they're not really dying.
But it,
you know?
It represents people that really may have died. I don't know if it's real.
How deep is our empathy supposed to extend, okay? These are,
all right.
These are drawings.
That's my favorite Bee Gees song, by the way. Very cumbersome one. Moving on. Yes, this is Batman Gotham Knight. It's an anthology, so it's like 6 little stories. It's nice that they all have titles too. Like it stops and text comes up to tell you what the story is. And the thing, I don't know if you knew this, Miles, but this came out and took place between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why Batman like knows about Scarecrow, but he doesn't know about Killer Croc and stuff.
Oh, okay. So we're supposed to be like grounded in like this stuff just happened. Like the breakout on Arkham Asylum.
Yes. And that's also why Lucius Fox is in this. And yeah. This is also the first appearance of Crispus Allen, I think his name is. He's the skeptical cop who's like, I don't trust him. The guy who wrote that segment created that character. And then he showed up in a bunch of stuff. The DVD was advertised as the first animated Batman movie to be rated PG-13, according to this line on Wikipedia. And then some nerd in IMDb trivia said, well, actually, a different DVD of Batman had a director's cut that was rated PG-13. So that came out first. And I don't care. I don't think anyone should care, but I did feel obligated to tell you. The studios that worked on it are as follows: Studio 4C, Production IG, B Train, and Madhouse.
Okay, I've heard of Madhouse.
Oh yeah, Madhouse did all the Satoshi Kon stuff and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay. Oh, and Studio 4C did Tekkonkinkreet and Mind Game.
Yeah, and they did that. The worst sequence of memories, the third one that had that was like really weird. They they're so interesting. Some of their art is like really beautiful, and I think they have a unique look to stuff, but then they make the ugliest fucking character designs I've ever seen. And I felt that way about the first story here.
Yeah.
That was them. And it's called Have I Got a Story for You?
Also, by the way, after we started watching this, I was like, oh, I've seen this. my friend, who's a really big Batman nerd, we watched it like the year it came out. Like, he wanted to see it. So we watched it.
That was a long
together.
Time ago, though.
Yeah. I didn't. And it wasn't. Spoilers. I didn't really like it. I still don't really like it, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's okay. I was expecting it to be. I was hoping it would be better. And then when I watched it again now, I'm like, yeah, this is why I didn't really remember it, because it's like, I didn't find it to be that memorable. But yeah.
Also, this was. Go ahead, Miles.
I think I liked it after watching it, and then when I was walking around after, I stopped liking it.
What?
I thought about it, the more I was like, I think I'm tired of this character, and maybe I hate him now.
You hate
I used to love
Batman? Oh no. Yeah. That's a lot.
I still love Batman, but you can't think too hard about what it would be like in real life.
And I think that's what, like, the premise of this is like, he's just a man,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think when you start to think about, well, he's just a man, why doesn't he go to therapy?
Men will dress up like animals and punch people to fight crime instead of going to therapy.
Right. I think when you humanize him too much, you're like, wait a minute, is he a dumbass?
Yeah,
is it like immoral for him to be doing these things?
Yes.
I think it's like the wrong path.
He has zero due process, zero, almost no accountability. But he just can't think that hard, because there's a few things that happen specifically in this one where I was like, this is fucking dumb. This is not something you should do. But you have to just turn your brain off a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, let's start talking about it. So the first one, that's the one with the kids skateboarding. It starts out with them skateboarding. The character design is ugly.
Yeah.
And then they each have like a story to tell, because they all encountered Batman fighting. Did you catch his name? I forgot it.
Do we know?
They said his name at one point.
Oh,
I
didn't. I thought they were just nameless lackeys.
The kids
somebody.
Didn't know his name, but he shows up in a later story and they say his name.
Because
like all these stories, you guys notice that these stories are all like loosely connected.
Yeah.
Like all the six stories. Well, anyway, these kids, they basically.
Oh, Man in Black.
No, there was a name. They didn't say his name. I thought he had a name like Gizmo or something. He had like a.
Are you just thinking that Deadshot is them?
Deadshot?
Deadshot's the sniper in the last one. You don't mean him, do you?
No.
Well, then I don't know.
Okay.
I thought they said his name. It was like, I don't know. Anyway, so these kids all saw Batman fighting the Man in Black all day. And it's kind of in reverse chronological order, because the first kid tells a story about the guy coming out of like the water. The kid, it's like nighttime, and he like attacks the kid. And then Batman comes and beats the crap out of him. But then the guy escapes because he throws like a little flash bomb at Batman.
Yeah, a little flashbang.
And also Batman is a shadow, because the kid telling the story, kind of like that's how he perceived it. And like each of these kids describe Batman as if he is like, as if he's like inhuman, like he has powers or something.
Right.
So.
Yeah, people say.
That's his story. And then the next one is like kind of like what happened right before that, like how he got there. What were you going to say?
That the first one we see, that is probably the last appearance of Batman in this little story. People say that the way he like melts and like turns into goo and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did I call him? Did I call him Slime Man or Goof Sludge Man is what I called him. It's apparently sort of like Vampire Batman from the Batman and Dracula graphic novels. And later, he kind of looks like Man-Bat. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Man-Bat, but he kind of looks like a fucking gargoyle.
Yeah. And then the next one is the girl, and she's like, that's not it, or whatever. That's not what Batman looks like.
Yeah, they all sound like urban youths.
She's like, Batman! She's very like you're full of shit, basically. And so she tells her story. The man in black comes in, like he drops in like a with like a rocket pack on, and then Batman comes, and he's like literally like a bat, like he has bat wings that flap. And he comes and he saves a lady. I don't know why he's like, what is this guy even doing? He's just coming down and like terrorizing people. Like, who is this man in black?
I don't remember how the first story goes, but I think he's just trying to make his escape.
Oh, right. He robs a bank or something in the first story. So he's just trying to get out.
And, so yeah, like, he's taking a hostage to avoid capture.
Yeah. In her story, Batman cuts off his head, which did not happen.
Well, that's the thing is, watching this, I'm dumb, and I didn't realize that this was like a Rashomon kind of thing going on, where they're just like seeing it differently.
Oh.
I thought that these were different Batman imposters
were
coming out. Because like, I think when Superman was dead, there were like fake Supermans for a while. So I thought that's why I was like, this one's probably named Sludge Man. That's probably who that is.
Okay, and then this one is Batman Man, right? What would you call this one?
I called him Gargoyle Man.
No, but this one with the bat wings.
Gargoyle Man.
Oh, okay. Sludge Man and then Gargoyle Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys notice that the woman who is dropped by Batman, and the girl who's telling the story both had huge tits for no reason? Did you notice that?
Yes.
Why did they had like double H cup tits?
The girl who was telling the story.
I guess there's never a reason to have huge tits, but.
Never a reason not to.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. There's really no reason not to.
Well, actually, no, there are reasons not to, because it could hurt.
You don't know until you try. So everyone upgrade.
All right.
We got to do it.
Yeah, and her like little like tank top kept like sliding down.
Yeah, somebody knew that,
like,
what they were doing.
Why doesn't like where? Why don't your clothes fit you? Anyway, so she's like, oh yeah, and then he cut off his head, and they're like, that didn't happen. Batman doesn't do that. Like, we know the rules. Batman doesn't do that. And she's like, I'm making it more colorful, yo. Just to end a sentence with yo. Then they fought all the way to a river, which is like where the last kid's story starts. And oh right, I was like, wait, so the bad guy has a head again, because she like keeps telling the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he swims away, and the last kid, he's like, I know where it all starts. And the guy in black is robbing like a touristy place. It looked like a sightseeing kind
of
place.
It's like the top of some big tower.
Yeah, and Batman is a robot who shoots like missiles.
Yeah,
in this kid's story,
this kid is really stupid.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. I guess Batman does have gadgets, but like,
yeah,
there's no way he looked like a fucking robot.
Just like really liked RoboCop, so he was like, he's a robot.
I don't know. Maybe he brought like a very armored suit.
Yeah,
or maybe he was stiffly.
Yeah, maybe he was talking like a robot. I don't know.
There's another boy. Then the last boy telling, he doesn't have a story. He didn't see any of it. But then Batman and the guy in black crash into like the skate rink that they're in, like the indoor skate park that they're in, and they keep fighting. And then the guy in black, I forget how he fogs up the room, but he
throws a smoke bomb.
He throws a smoke bomb. And the last, and the guy in black is about to stab Batman with a like piece of broken glass or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Batman can't find him in the fog. And then the boy, the last boy who didn't have a story, he hits the guy in black with his skateboard. And Batman is like, nice work, kid. Looks like I owe you one. And then he left.
Yeah.
And it ends with like the boy being like, man, have I got a story for you guys? Because they didn't see, because it was because of the fog, they didn't see it either. So.
Yeah. Bless you.
So that's the first one.
The first one was written by Josh Olson, who wrote A History of Violence. Well, the film adaptation of the graphic novel, A History of Violence. He also has some podcasts that I have listened to.
The Viggo Mortensen movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a podcast called The Movies That Made Me with Joe Dante, who directed Gremlins. And he's got one called The West Wing Thing, where he and this other guy just talk shit on the show The West Wing. Mm. Yeah, so when this one, it was like, okay, there's some cool concepts happening, but the character design, the fact that their lips like don't move when they mm-hmm. talk,
mm.
it was like, it felt like too much of a style departure. It was confusing and a little bit of a letdown to start with.
It didn't look like anime, and it didn't look like Batman. So yeah. It was like,
and Batman really didn't look like one, Batman.
Though. I like the story.
Yeah, I liked it because it was very different. It wasn't like regular Batman. It was like, it was so much from the perspective of regular kids, and I liked their wild ideas of what Batman was. And I liked the art. I think
they do a great job on backgrounds, and their different versions of Batman looked really cool. Like, I do like the gooey Batman kind of looks stupid, like he's an mm-hmm. animal or something. But just the way they draw like regular people, I don't know. They're like weirdly low in detail and their mouths don't move.
Mm. This is when I was like, I was excited to hear Kevin Conroy, but like the Batman, like, by the time you hear his voice, Batman is so fucked up, but he's just like, I guess I owe you one, kid.
Yeah,
I guess I owe you one, fuck, I'm bleeding.
That kind of struck me, too. He sounded a little too, like, Superman. Like, he sounded a little too, like, good. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're both wrong. He sounded great.
This is the podcast where only Mark is right.
Yeah.
The next segment is Crossfire. We have some cops, Detective Allen, Detective Ramirez. And that's when I was for sure, because I remember Detective Ramirez. Like, that's the only thing of this that I remember seeing.
You're like, ah, a Hispanic cop.
A woman, yeah. I was like, that's why I remember. Because I was like, oh, neat. Because I guess in 2008, it was like memorable when there was like a Hispanic woman in anything. So we've come pretty far because I don't notice anymore, but I used to. Anyway, it kind of continues from the last story. Oh, Mr. Feely. That's what I wrote down. Mr. Feely is the name of the tech guy in all black. Is that his name?
What?
Who's Mr.
Oh,
Feely?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They kept calling him Mr. Feely.
Oh, Jacob Feely. Oh, okay.
He's the man in all black.
I did not connect that he's the guy that they're transporting.
Yeah, that's the guy they're transporting, right?
I didn't know
that.
Because
he's wearing the same little outfit. Yeah, so that's how it connects.
He's not wearing the same outfit.
Isn't he? He's wearing all black with little
goggles.
He's
wearing like a belly shirt. He doesn't have goggles on. He has like long hair over his face.
What?
Yeah. When they go into Gordon's office and they're like, Mr. Feely here needs to be put in arm and leg cuffs and taken to the car, and he just looks like a psycho.
Oh. I thought in the car he looked the same, though. In the car, didn't he look the same?
No, he looked like he was about to lash out and like kill them or something.
Well, why did I see, I saw the guy in all black. Maybe
I don't
not.
Know. There's a chance I missed something, but
yeah,
I remember him pretty clearly, I think.
I don't know. Anyway, Detective Allen and Detective Ramirez argue about, I don't know whether Batman is good or not, because Detective Allen is like, he's a vigilante and that's bad. And Detective Ramirez is like, no, he's not, but like he totally is a vigilante. Like,
yeah,
that's what he is.
They know
that's what he is.
They, I don't know if they know. I don't know if it's like a good decision, but they avoid any political or like higher level conversations about the nature of Batman,
mm-hmm.
if it's good or bad, and instead it's just sort of name calling. It's just Chris Detective Allen says he's a vigilante, and she's just like, no, he's not, because she likes the concept of Batman. She trusts Batman.
Yeah.
She doesn't say like, sometimes you need a vigilante in a system that's as broken and dangerous as Gotham.
You can argue maybe that he's not a vigilante because he works with the cops.
It's true, yeah. He doesn't usually...
Like, is he an employee? They don't pay him, but he they collaborate together.
He's a contractor.
Yeah, exactly. He's a contractor.
He's a contractor. Look, cops themselves break the rules all the goddamn time. Why not have, you know... a guy who you can also blame when things really go fucked up. I think that's happened, right? Hasn't the city like turned its back on Batman at times and been like, oh, he's evil? I think in one of the original Batman movies, I think Penguin in Batman Returns maybe paints him to be a bad guy and everyone hates him. You know? So he's basically a cop.
Yes. Side note, tangent, part of the inspiration or something for Batman is Zorro, and like the story is kind of similar.
Yeah,
because Zorro is a rich guy who is Zorro, and he like helps people, but like in his regular life, he's like a rich guy who just like pretends that he's like an intellectual, and like, you know, is not interested in politics or fighting or anything like that. So like he kind of plays. Like he just like reads books and he's like rich and he doesn't, you know, he's too fancy. He doesn't have, you know, time to be interested in politics or, you know, caring about people. And so like but then he's Zorro and he goes and he like saves people. Anyway, and he wears all black and he comes out at night and
wears a mask.
He wears a mask.
He drives the Batmobile.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see.
So
yeah.
They're driving.
So she's like, he's changing the city for the better. It turns out they're taking Feely to Arkham.
Yes.
And
which is now basically Arkham City. It's like
it's a whole island.
Because apparently Gotham is a bunch of little islands.
Mm-hmm. They show a map of Gotham at one point.
It's like
cute.
It is not just Manhattan. It is different.
Yeah.
Or rather, it is not just New York City. It is similar to New York City in that it has different islands that connect, mm-hmm. but they seem to be smaller.
Yeah. Which is crazy that there's like a whole golf course, like where? Like in the middle of the fucking city, there's
in
a
the
whole...
Upper East Side.
There's just a whole golf course. That comes later. But anyway, they're taking him to Arkham. When they go through, there's like a bridge that has to be like lowered or put together for them to be able to cross it and get into Arkham.
Yeah, drawbridge.
A drawbridge. That's what that's called. And the security guy who his job is to like open the bridge or whatever is like, anyone you see on the streets are inmates, not citizens. Don't stop for anybody. And I don't remember how they get into the whole Russian versus Maroni thing, but this is where you're introduced to Maroni. And
they're like, on the way back, and they're like, their argument is getting more intense, and she like pulls mm-hmm. over to like give him a talking to, and it turns out they park right in the middle of a meetup between the Russians and the Italians that becomes violent. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever acknowledges like, hey, who's in the random car in between
us? Yeah, you would think one of them would be like, are these your guys? And they'd be like, are those your, you know? And then they'd both shoot the car or something, but that's not what happens. They just fucking ignore it.
One of them has a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And Detective Allen gets like launched by the rocket launcher or something.
No.
Something. He gets launched by something because he's like up in the air and
no,
then Batman
grabs him
and then Batman saves him.
Batman is the one who launches him.
Oh, okay. So he was about to get hit with the rocket launcher.
He's about to get hit because he falls down. He's trying to get out of the car when it's going to be. He gets out of the car when it's going to be RPG.
He was in the air. He was in the air already, and Batman like a little. You see a whip around his foot. A whip goes like a Like a little whip goes.
Miles, do you remember this?
I don't remember exactly why he goes flying in the air, but I do remember Batman yoinking him up.
Huh. I hope it's not that he got blown away by the RPG and stuff. That's so dumb.
Okay, I don't know. I thought I saw the whip go around his leg and pull him, but like he was already in the air when that happened. So I don't know. But anyway, Maroni grabs the lady cop as like a hostage. Batman walks through fire all cool.
Yeah, this fire, because apparently this car was made out of napalm or something. There's like this immense like bonfire burning.
It was a Ford.
Silly. It was a Ford? Oh, Ford. Yeah, it was a vintage Pinto.
I stopped taking good notes, so I don't really know what happens here.
Batman walks forward to tell Maroni, who's like the last man standing, basically, to let Ramirez go. Alan, her partner, had been brought up on the rooftops by Batman, but he sneaks down. He drops like a few stories out of a window, falls, and takes his gun out and is like, let her go. So he's like another, thing that Maroni has to think about. And then while Maroni is kind of distracted by looking at both Batman and Detective Alan, Batman is able to sneak up on him and smack him. And, he takes him out, and then before Batman leaves, he's like, you're part of Major Crimes Unit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Gordon always had a good judge of character. And then he zips away. My notes.
Do you think he likes Batman now?
Yeah, once you get a compliment, you gotta love somebody.
Batman helped him.
My notes are as follows. I wrote, I prefer this aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bars in their cop car, which is weird because they keep cutting to shots of Feely looking dangerous. And I don't know why they don't have any divider. Nothing happened, no. And Lieutenant James Gordon's nameplate on his door says Lieutenant.James.Gordon, like it's a website. Like if you go to lieutenant.james.gordon, you can submit a tip to the police. Which is weird because a lot of the other English on-screen text was good. Normally my eyes are looking for fun, little Euripity fucking cyber city ethnicity, bad English. I know, I'm sorry. I'm waving my finger everywhere.
Mm.
I'm pointing at all the bad English. But this was pretty good for the most part. That was just really weird. Because it was huge in the shot and it just had periods between all the words.
Yeah, I like the aesthetic for this one probably the best too. Because it was like dark and it looked, I think, still kind of anime, but like not too cute or anything. And
yeah,
good.
We're going to talk about too cute.
Yeah.
Okay. This was written by Greg Rucka, who, again, he created, I think, for the comics, Crispus Allen.
A great comic called Gotham Central, which was like police procedural that takes place in Gotham.
Oh, that's cool. So I guess he likes the police genre, because it makes sense that if you're going to create a new cop character, you should probably have him be skeptical of Batman. It's just way more interesting and it's more realistic for a cop to be like, why do I do all this shit? And then I just carry shit around that he did.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what should be in this anthology?
What's that?
The sketch that we wrote, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were a little late. GCPD came out, fucking 11 years too late?
We should have animated it too.
That would have been easier.
Yeah.
We just got to call one of these companies and say, I've got a great idea. How's next week? The next short is called Field Test. And it is animated by a studio called B-Train, who did the Dot Hack animes. Okay. I don't know if you guys have heard Dot Hack, but I always see it because it's always first in the list of animes.
Yeah.
It starts with a fucking period.
I've also noticed this.
Miles, have you said you've read Blade of the Immortal or you've watched Blade of the Immortal?
I don't think so.
I don't know why. For some reason, I was like, that feels familiar, like Miles has said it. But they did that anime. They did Noir. Noir is an anime I mentioned a few weeks ago. It's about two women with guns. And Wikipedia says that B-Train is popular with Yuri fandom because they do a lot of anime that have two women as protagonists and the nature of their relationship could be one way, it could be the other way. And so people write a lot of lesbian fanfic, or maybe they draw porn. I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah. And this one is about Batman getting a new gadget from Lucius Fox that is a EMP generator. Although I meant to look up if EMP, electromagnetic pulse, is a real thing. It comes up in a bunch of movies, and I don't know how real it is.
Who cares?
But really, this is just an electromagnet is what it is. I don't know if
it blocks bullets.
Right. Lucius basically figures, he's like, hey, if we put this into a bat suit, then you can deflect bullets. And they test it at the firing range. And my note was like, are you not worried about ricochet? And
they weren't.
The segment goes on to show you that, yeah, ricochet would be a big fucking problem. Also, Lucius Fox is insanely good at firing a gun. He fires it with one hand and his grouping is insanely tight. I'm just saying, that's for any gun nuts that listen to this podcast. But again, despite being very good with firearms, doesn't think about ricochet. Batman, Bruce Wayne in this looks like a Bishonen character.
I thought he looked exactly like Adam Scott from Parks and Rec. Exactly.
Like, you think he looked like anime Adam Scott?
Yes. 100. At first I was like, he kind of looks like Tom Cruise. And then I was like, no, he's exactly Adam Scott.
Like, this is where I was like, I need to watch the Japanese voice acting, because Kevin Conroy's voice coming out of this little twink with swoopy hair anime boy, I was like, this is so weird. It did not feel right at all.
I took an image of this guy. Doesn't he look like Adam Scott?
Yeah, I think you're right. He's got the big chin and nose.
Yeah.
No offense to Adam Scott.
I'll send it to the group chat.
I'm trying to remember how it exactly, but does Batman go to the golf tournament after they talk about the Batsuit?
They were looking at a satellite, by the way, in the beginning, and I thought, because in the previous episode they showed like a satellite being launched by Wayne Industries on TV, and so I was like, okay, so this is the reference to the previous like part.
Yeah,
because they're talking about a satellite anyway. Yeah, then he goes to the golf course, which is like a golf tournament for the homeless, and it's like, you could have just built housing instead of a fucking golf course.
Yeah,
it's a new golf course.
I did Google, have there ever been golf tournaments for the homeless?
Yeah.
And there have been, but like there's one in California, but it does say the 9th annual. So I guess it's a relatively new concept.
I think if the golf course is old, maybe we'll give you a pass. But like, don't build a brand new golf course and then do a fucking charity for the homeless.
Slap in the face. George Carlin had a big bit about how they should just take golf courses and turn them into housing for the homeless. So it feels, I wrote down that it felt like this was a fundraiser for water hosted by fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I looked at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he talks about, he's like, oh, yeah, it's unfortunate that that woman activist who was against this golf course being built mysteriously was murdered.
But I had nothing to do with that. And I'm going to name this new homeless shelter in her honor.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, wow, so nice.
Right. And then later, Bruce is like, I don't know where, but someone asks him, oh, hot date tonight? And he's like, and they're like, what does he ask him? He asks something and he's like,
he says, blonde, brunette, or redhead.
Ah, and he says, half Russian, half Italian. And I'm like, ew.
It's because he's going to date all these mobsters.
Yeah, he's going to... Maroni gets a name. The Russian is just called The Russian. Like, that's his name.
Yeah. He dresses not at all like a gangster either. He looks kind of silly.
Mark, I wrote down, because this is where you said out loud, I can't take his face seriously about Bruce Wayne.
I can't take him seriously. He looks like if Light Yagami had a bad hair day. Or it was friendlier or something. He's just such an anime boy.
Yeah.
Was
he supposed to be, because this is between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. So is it supposed to be, is it supposed to be Christian Bale? Like, is it supposed to be anime Christian Bale?
I don't know. He never had his hair that long.
I guess so.
Maybe.
I don't mind all the different looks of Batman, but this one was very anime-ish.
This was the one that I was like, what the fuck are we doing here? Yeah, so then during the golf tournament, the guy that's like obviously sketchy, he goes to get ready to drive, and he makes fun of Bruce Wayne for... Bruce Wayne hits like a pretty big drive, but it goes into a sand trap, I guess? I don't know where it goes. And he's like, oh, the most important thing in life is drive. And he goes to hit a big drive himself, but Batman uses the EMP thing that he now has in his watch, but it makes the golf club fly out of the guy's hands, which is funny because it's just like how... I guess, yeah, to anyone watching, no one would believe you if you went, hey, that happened without me doing it.
Sure thing, boss.
And yeah, Bruce uses this opportunity when they're all going for the golf club. He goes and takes his the guy's PDA, his personal desktop assistant or personal digital assistant, which is an insanely thick, huge device. But he steals it because he's a thief. He's not a cop, and that would still be theft. And then later, I think later he just basically uses it as proof that this guy did orchestrate, or is that in the last, is that all the way with Deadshot where we learn that from the PDA he was able to figure out that he authorized a hit?
I have no
idea. Basically, so Batman then goes to some boat fight. There's a boat fight going on.
Boat fight, yeah. For some reason, the Italians and the Russians end up meeting each other on a foggy night at the river, and they're like, oh shit, it's the other guys, and they start shooting each other.
No, doesn't Batman orchestrate that?
Well, they are, the Italian guys looking to kill the Russians, but I think he uses his electromagnet to push the boats together.
Yeah. he's just like playing matchmaker. He's like, I want these guys, I want these mobsters to take each other out.
Yeah, they're each walking dogs on the sidewalk, and the dogs tangle them together in their leashes. Now they have to talk. And I don't remember exactly what happens, but Batman...
He gets mad at them because, like, they've been fighting, and he says, you're not allowed to... Like, he assigns them each a piece of territory, and he says, you're not allowed to fight each other until I get enough evidence to arrest you.
Yeah, he's like, you keep the narrows, you keep whatever. And they're like, that's fine with me, but then... One of the because he beats dudes up and then grabs them, and then someone else who he didn't account for or whatever shoots a gun at him, and he uses his suit's ricochet thing. He had used it on the dudes before, but this bullet hits some nice blonde boy who's nearby. He's like the one, like, attractive nice blonde guy amidst both of these gangs. So he's hit by the ricochet, and then one of the Russian gangsters is like, you broke him, you buy him. Which I thought was dumb. If I were Batman, I'd be like, I didn't fire that gun.
And then the kid becomes a sex slave.
What?
I don't know.
You think he bought him like that? So this was really silly to me because it was like, it's a ricochet. And Batman didn't fire the gun. Like, it's really the other guy's fault for thinking he could shoot Batman when Batman's clearly bulletproof.
But he still takes responsibility.
He takes responsibility. He brings him into the Batmobile and drives him to a hospital and apparently never pats him down for weapons because then he tries to pull a gun on the hospital people. And somehow Batman disarms him and is like, you can't give up. You've lost. Dumbass. And the boy gives up and he has to go to the hospital without killing people.
And he doesn't say, thanks for saving my life, Batman.
Nope. No one ever thanks Batman. And then...
You Batman, don't have to.
Not necessary. And then Batman basically gives the electromagnetic thing back to Lucius Fox at the end. And he's like...
Wait, what is the actual line? I never thanked you. You'll never have to. Is that what he says? You'll never have to.
I never thought about that. I don't know. I thought it was, I'm not wearing a hockey mask.
Or what's that?
It's from in The Dark Knight when there's a bunch of like, there's like a fake Batman that comes out in the middle of a fight in a parking garage. And then Batman like beats them up and ties them up. And there's also this one stupid line where like a Russian gangster type goes, my dogs are very hungry. And then when the fight is over, he ties them up. And one guy's like, yeah, what's so different about us from you? What gives you the right? And while the Batmobile closes on him, he's like, I'm not wearing hockey masks. And I think that scene would be so much funnier if you couldn't understand what he said. And he just went,
okay.
Anyway, yeah. And at the end here, he gives the EMP thing back to Lucius Fox and is like, when I put my life on the line out there, it's got to be my life only.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never like, hey, could we tweak this slightly?
And neither of them look at each other and go, gee golly, we should have fucking thought that if we deflect a bullet, it might hit somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dumb.
But they don't do either.
I also missed a note before, so I'm going to say it now. I thought it was funny that Maroni's boat, like, I don't know, they realize, they're like, wait, then who's driving the boat? And then they cut to Batman, and I wrote down that he's fucking driving their boat like it's a video game. He has a little controller and he's controlling their boat. And
he's got a little joystick.
That's it.
Okay. So the credit for writing on this was Jordan Goldberg. And it might be that this might be Jordan Goldberg, who has worked as an assistant to Christopher Nolan on Batman Begins. So maybe that's why this was stupid. That was mean.
Okay. The next one is called In Darkness Dwells, which doesn't make sense.
Wait. The Russian was Will Friedle, Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World.
No way.
That's good shit. That's good shit.
Who was?
Anton.
Which one was Anton?
He was either the Russian.
Oh, the Russian. Okay.
Or the kid who gets shot.
Mm.
Yeah, the next one is In Darkness Dwells, which is written by David S. Goyer, who wrote on all of the Christopher Nolan Batmans. So Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, and it's animated by Madhouse.
Well, Gordon is like investigating something. I don't know what, but that's what I wrote down. And Batman is like, don't bother to track me. I have quantum cryptology or whatever.
Quantum cryptography. And he says it's bounced off a dozen satellites. I'd be like, you're full of shit, okay? Maybe you have something, but you just said too many big words.
Oh, right. Yeah. Gordon's investigating something, and then he's like in the sewer or whatever, in the subway, and he like tells his like the other cops, he's like, okay, you guys can go. And then he just starts talking to the shadows because he knows that Batman's there. And he's like, what do you think, man? And then Batman just like picks up the fucking investigation.
Yeah, to a degree.
Gordon doesn't need to do his job because he just waits for Batman to show up and be like, you fucking look into this. Like, you know.
Yeah, I think this is something to do that's continuing with the Scarecrow Arkhamifying parts of Gotham, making people go crazy with his crazy drugs. The mental illness in Batman is very black and white. It's like, if you have a mental health crisis, a mental health issue, you're a dangerous criminal, and we just put you in a building. The only therapists we have are horny women who become crazy criminals themselves. And everyone is told to stay away from you. But like, I guess like the makeup and costume shops are really cheap, maybe, in Gotham. And so it's like very common for people who in like regular society might have like bipolar disorder and could just like go to therapy. No, in Gotham, you're going to be like a super special villain who gets his leg broken in three places by a Batman guy.
Well, in this case, Batman talks to the people that are living in the subway. This is a subway, right? It's not a sewer?
It's like an abandoned subway, yeah.
Oh, right. It's an abandoned. He talks to the people that are living there. They are homeless, and so they live down there. And one of the people there tells him about Killer Croc, who was abandoned by his family and raised by crocodiles or something. I don't know what he said. That he's like just a scary, big, scary man.
Well,
he should be Australian.
That'd be funny.
Crocodile Dundee.
He hunts himself. Killer Croc is like, he's abandoned and he has a skin issue.
Yes.
That
okay.
I guess makes him have tough skin like a crocodile. They also don't state that he's like huge and strong as hell.
You got to use the proactive gun against him.
Hit him with that aloe vera and he'll be like, ooh. Oh, I don't need to do crime. I think it's also like a mixture of the myth in New York City that like people would have pet alligators, but then they'd flush them down the toilet and then mm-hmm. they're like, oh, there's huge alligators just growing in the sewers under the city.
What about the myth of the mole people living in the subway? Why isn't there a Batman villain based on that?
I don't know. Maybe there probably is, actually, now that we talk about it. But yeah, it is nice to see like street people that aren't also just like violent thug criminals in Batman.
Mm-hmm.
That they are. And I think, don't they like greet him sarcastically? They're like, yeah, we're the monsters. We're demons.
Yeah.
You fucking fascist.
Basically.
But they give him some info, I think. Do they?
I just told you. They tell him about Killer Croc, that he was abandoned by his parents.
Oh, they tell him all the...
And he grew up in the sewer, and his skin... And I don't know what else they say. I made up that he was raised by crocodiles. I don't think he
that
was actually
not,
raised by crocodiles. Then he comes out, and he's scary and big, and he fights Batman, and he bites Batman, and Batman is like, ouch. I think I'm like...
Well, he
infected with something.
I think Batman first clocks that he is under the effects of some kind of drug or chemical.
Yeah, because he bit the guy, or the guy bit him.
Okay. I thought he clocked it first, and then he got bit and was like, "Oh, now it's in me."
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know how he defeats him. I feel like he pulls out some device.
Wait. But before that, he's talking to like Gordon on a headset, and you know, because he's like, "Oh, ouch! He bit me. I'm in I'm infected," and he's like, "Are you in pain?" And Batman's like, "I work through pain."
Yeah,
which is, I think, what the next cartoon is about.
Also, even though I do want to ask you guys how the fuck he defeated him and why a beam shot out of Killer Croc's mouth, they also explain that there are coffins down there because there's a pneumatic tube system that links all of the cemeteries.
Yes. Incredible.
What a bad idea.
Just corpses shooting around underground.
And like, I get why. I guess it's a way to design it. It makes more sense to me that there's one central location, like the morgue, and then it shoots to the different cemeteries. But the way they described it, I immediately pictured cemeteries could transfer coffins to each other, which
just swap them out.
Stupid.
Like a museum that has like different exhibits like on rotation.
Oh, well, I was thinking like if you can't afford the ritzy cemetery anymore, they downgrade.
Oh, okay.
Your meemaw and Pep have to go to a shittier cemetery after a few years. Or maybe there's like one like mortician and he just takes the tube himself to the different cemeteries. What a life. I'm gonna write
not
my
enough
own
pneumatic tubes in life.
Do you remember seeing your parents use one of those at a drive-in bank thing?
Use
well,
what?
I used to work at a drive-in bank, so I would work the pneumatic tubes.
Oh man, was it fucking awesome? Because I love seeing that shit.
It was pretty sick.
Did you ever lose anything up there? Did you ever have like a wristwatch get socked off?
No.
No. Did you ever, try to mess with it? Or you ever like, let's see if it could do a quarter?
No. I never tried to put my dick in there.
Wait, what are these?
I wasn't
going
to ask. I figured that was the case.
What are these tubes for?
They're just like.
Like you put your checks into the little tube and then you push the button and it gets sucked up.
It was like whoosh, up like a plastic tube.
The teller gets your check and can write shit on it.
Oh.
Like instead of just feeding your check into an ATM.
Yeah.
It was analog technology that was supposed to make things convenient. You put a little capsule in a plastic tube and then it goes whoop up the plastic tube over to the bank teller. And then maybe they write a receipt or something and they whoop it back to you.
Why couldn't there just be a little hole that you put the...
So it could serve all the lanes, not just the lane that was closest to the bank.
Yeah, there'd be like multiple lanes of people driving up to the bank. And if you're in the farthest lane, how are you going to reach that hole with your check? You're not. You're going to put it in the tube.
Okay, I don't really understand it, but...
Hey, drive through your local TD Bank one day. Check it out.
I don't like TD Bank.
Miles, did you
TD
ever
Bank.
Fuck things up and accidentally get too many like packages at the same time? Did they ever clog the tubes?
No, I don't think so. I think it was pretty straightforward.
Because like,
there was only like two places it could go.
Shouldn't you be working with one person at a time? You're like working with everyone. That's a lot.
So you could serve multiple customers at the same time.
That's a lot.
That sounds kind of sick. Like you're like, okay, I'm doing it for this one, and then I send it back, and then I do this one, and then boop, 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 boop.
Working as a bank teller is when I realized that I didn't get stressed out that much.
That's funny, because you watched everyone else get stressed out, and you inhumanly were like, it's fine.
And I was like, I'm fine.
That's awesome.
Anyway, Scarecrow is poisoning people and stuff. Batman works through pain because he's just cool and he gets to say cool lines like that. When he said that, I was like, all right. Like,
you should just say, just say I'm fine.
We get it. Like, you don't have to brag. But then later I was like, okay, no, he actually literally works through pain because of his training.
So how does he defeat Killer Croc? What happens?
He's like, methane gas is our ticket out of here. And he like...
No. That's way later. I'm saying before he even gets to the big open area with the Scarecrow kidnapping a cardinal.
He works through pain. I don't know.
I have no memory of it either.
Like, I don't know what happened to me.
I'm going back to the Wikipedia article to see, but I think I even checked it and it was just like, then he defeats Killer Croc. And I was still like, I'm pretty sure Killer Croc shot a beam out of his mouth like he's fucking Godzilla. And I didn't know
if that
was because he...
I didn't understand that either. Because I thought he was a regular man with like acne.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe he had methane gas inside him, and Batman ignited it, or something. Which seems like a high level of damage for Batman to do to someone. By the way, to ignite gas that's in your throat and lungs. I'm not sure what happened, but yeah, then he does find Cardinal O'Fallon and the Scarecrow in some big underground area, and yeah, Batman gets down there and like grabs the cardinal and like beats up the Scarecrow's dudes or something, or he distracts them. I don't know. He gets the cardinal and then, yeah, he notices there's methane gas above them and he's like, that's our ticket. And then he blows it up. He just ignites the huge pocket of gas above everything. A bunch of pipes start to fall down.
He could have blown himself up.
He could have killed everyone in this area.
He could have killed like the homeless people who were nearby not doing anything.
Yeah, my headcanon for Batman is that he absolutely has killed people, but he usually doesn't like stick around and notice it. He doesn't do it on purpose, but he's just like, I have one rule. And everyone's like, he's killed like a dozen people. If you play the Arkham Knight, Arkham Asylum games, he's like snapping people's arms and legs and shit, hitting people really fucking hard with his boots and fists. He's got to have killed somebody.
Yeah, but those are all bad guys, so it's different.
Yeah, but these are all bad guys too, but he's not supposed to kill them.
Okay.
Yeah, so then they escape. And then, I don't know what, there was a big face statue down there with the Scarecrow too. I didn't really know what that was. And then they fly through the sewers and stuff, and Batman manages to get out, but he sustains injuries, and they load the Cardinal onto the police chopper, and Gordon's like, can we give you a ride? And Batman says, maybe next time. And just flies away, despite being in pain.
That wasn't as badass as I work through pain. It was like a rain check.
Yeah. I was also wondering if he was going to try to fly away and just like through dizziness, he would go sideways and just smack into a building.
Like, I'm fine. the next segment is working through pain. And I was like, hey, he just said that. Bruce Wayne is a relief effort volunteer somewhere. And
somewhere in a country where they don't use anesthesia during surgery.
Yeah. And I guess they let fucking Bruce Wayne be a nurse or something with like no training, because he's there helping a guy. Yeah. He's helping like the doctor get bullets out of this guy. Who this patient with no anesthesia, and it hurts.
Did you say with no anesthesia?
With no Disney's anesthesia. No, not, is it Disney? It's not Disney.
It's not Disney.
Who made Anastasia? Is it Warner Brothers? Who made Anastasia?
Anastasia film, 1997, produced and directed by Don Bluth and Gary Goldman. So who's the studio? Production company Fox Animation.
Ah, Fox. Anyway, so he takes the bullet out and then he's like, okay, Bruce, sew him up. I don't know. I don't think Bruce Wayne is qualified to sew up wounds.
Maybe when you do this kind of volunteer work, they teach you everything. You?
Listen, if you can sew pants, you can sew a man.
Is that a philosophy?
Yeah. You can look it up in any medical textbook.
But do you think Bruce Wayne can sew pants?
Yeah.
You think he can sew? I guess, man, maybe.
I think so.
Maybe he can sew his little suit.
His little suit.
He probably has to. He probably like busts like the fucking ass part of his pants and has to be like, no one can see my boxers.
Because he's super rich. He sends all his suits out for like tailoring and, you know,
yeah, but
stuff
he also
like
went and lived in Tibet and shit. And he probably had to learn basic survivalist skills when he was training or something.
Or he just like had holes and it's fine.
There's that. Know?
But no, I think that at least for his suit, like no one else is, he's not going to like send his suit out to be mended, you know? So he's not going to send his suit out to a tailor or a seamstress or whatever. So he has to do it for his costume. Anyway, I wrote down there's a lady in prison making tea, but I don't remember what her deal was. Oh, right. She's the one who teaches him how to work through pain.
Her name is Cassandra.
Oh, right. That's a good name.
Despite this taking place in maybe India? I don't know.
Yeah, she teaches him about controlling pain. Pain can be put in its pace, in its place. You work through pain. You don't, I don't know. You don't like get numb to it. You work through it. Yeah, that's it. Oh, she gets in trouble for teaching an outsider. And then I started to get tired, so...
She is seen as like kind of a witchy person.
Yeah.
People fear her or hate her.
Yeah.
But she's training him because some other guy, he was going to learn from some other guy, and then they were like, yeah, they thought you were going to be about like peace and harmony, but they could tell you're lying and you just want to learn something for your own benefit or whatever about how to control pain. So then he is told like seek out this Cassandra person because she's kind of an outcast. And then, yeah, she teaches him some stuff and they walk on hot coals. She at one point has a bunch of needles going through her arm. And I was like, that just looks like it's going to damage important shit. That's not just painful. It's like, where do your muscles go? And so he does some pain training with her. They do some dungeon work. and then a bunch of youths show up and are talking trash to her. And one of them even like has a stick and like pokes her in the forehead, which draws blood, but she doesn't care because she's the pain queen. She doesn't give a shit, but...
Do you think this is like a sex thing?
For who?
For both of them. For her especially.
I don't know. I was wondering if he was gonna try some. He was gonna be like, okay, before I go, would you like some sex? You know, just throw that in there, but no. So he then jumps out there to defend her and he beats up these youths, which I also thought was a stupid idea. If you're an outsider and they don't like that you're there, you shouldn't also kick all their asses. Mm-hmm. Like clearly fear is not working for her either.
That's his solution to everything. It's violence.
Yeah.
Cause he's a cop.
We got to see more diplomacy from this guy.
He's just a cop who's cooler.
He beats them up. There were a few fight scenes in this, but I thought that the hits did look really hard, really good. I'm trying to remember. I think there was some shots in this one where I was like, ooh, out loud. And that's how I know it's good, is when I can't help but say it out loud. And then she's like, you gotta go because you've learned whatever you can. And to be honest, you have a lot of pain and I don't even think I can help you. I think you've got too much pain, but it might be. She says something like, it might be leading you down the path that you want or something. And it's like, kind of, like he's in pain and he just hates criminals. So I guess that's what he's going to do. And then back in the present, as he's like crawling through the sewers and stuff. Oh yeah, and he apparently been shot in the beginning of this. He is very slowly making his way back and he radios Alfred to tell him where to pick him up. Alfred drives the Batmobile to him, which I thought was crazy because, like, what if people see Alfred and they're like, Batman's a fucking old guy? and then Batman, while he's in the sewer waiting for Alfred, he starts to notice a bunch of guns in the sewer. And then he, like, digs through all the trash to find all the guns I guess because he wants to destroy them and stuff. But then Alfred's like, can you climb up, Master Bruce? And he's like, I can't. And his arms are just full of guns.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a weird ending. It didn't really have to do with pain. It was just like,
oh, this wasn't
I have
the last
different
one.
Priorities.
There's one more. There's Deadshot is the last one.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked the art on this one, working through pain.
Yeah.
It was all right. Yeah, I think I confused which was which. I thought Studio 4C definitely did the first one, which I thought was pretty uggo characters, aside from Batman. But this last one in Darkness... Wait. What the fuck? Yeah, this last one, Working Through Pain, was also Studio 4C, and this looked more like what I expect from a cartoon, where characters look cool. But he does look weird when he's crawling around... Or is that in Deadshot? When he's crawling around in pain in the sewers, Batman does look a little bit like a weirdo, or like part animal. Like his face is a little bit weird.
Hey,
but him as Bruce Wayne, he is kind of weird. Him as Bruce Wayne and Cassandra and stuff, they all looked good, more regular.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassandra was voiced by Parminder Nagra, who is a Indian British actress, and she was in Bend It Like Beckham and ER.
And Will Friedle was in this again as Youth One.
Yeah, everyone else, all of the other characters, were all the Indian people were depicted by people with Western last names.
Heck yeah.
Wait a minute though, Brian George actually he's the Pakistani restaurant owner in Seinfeld. Remember, he keeps opening like an ethnic restaurant that fails. Babu Bhatt. Yes, he's a British actor, but he plays the guy that tells him like, our contact's not going to help you. You have to go seek this woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they got two South Asian people doing South Asian characters. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's not zero, but it was silly to him. Like, her name's Cassandra, but this is India. And what exactly is her mysticism? Like, what specifically are we talking about here? It was just sort of like, yeah, you know, the East. They know magic. Yeah, the last one is Deadshot, and it's about Batman facing off with Deadshot, who was a Batman villain. And he's good at guns. It opens.
There's a flashback to his parents' murder.
Wouldn't you know it? The Japanese animation studios get a crack at the "My parents are dead" story.
But they would save it for the last. Usually, it's like towards the beginning.
Yeah, I think that was smart.
Yeah,
everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks at a bunch of guns, which was like, I guess that's the connection. Is that these are the guns that he took from the sewer of the last one. And it's weird because Wayne tells Alfred that he thinks guns are cool. He's like, I get why criminals use them. I never would, but they're metal and they're steel and they're precise and you can change the world. And it's like, Batman, you're freaking me out, man.
Okay, dude.
Batman could use rubber bullets in a gun. I think in Dark Knight Returns, he does.
He could just use a gun. Like, is that the only thing that makes him not a cop? Like,
yeah, it's a big one though. Because Batman tries very hard not to kill people, and at least American cops do not try very hard not to kill people.
That's true.
There you go. That's my politics. So they assassinate. I did not know this. Oh, it's in another city. We see Deadshot hit an insane sniper shot on the mayor. Mm. Is this where he's in a Ferris wheel that is
why
moving?
Is he on the Ferris wheel?
So I kind of like this about him, that he is apparently so good at sniping that he likes difficult shots.
Mm.
And he claims, when he's talking to the people that paid him later, he claims that the bullet going through the wine glass was a choice that he made. That he was like, just to make it interesting. I recently watched a video from, I think is it Wired? I don't know. They do a video series where they show movie scenes to experts. And there was a guy who was a sniper in the Iraq War or Afghanistan or something. and he reviewed sniper scenes for movies, and he's like, yeah, you almost never want to shoot through glass because you could just never tell what the fuck the bullet is going to do when it goes through. Deadshot did not watch that YouTube video. And he doesn't need to because he's insanely good. And then they try to have him do his, like, his contacts. Apparently it's the Russian puts out a hit on Lieutenant Gordon, and Batman is going to protect him, and our old friends Detective Allen and Ramirez, I think it's the same two cops, right, from the second segment, are with Lieutenant Gordon, and they're and Lieutenant Gordon refuses to wear a helmet because he's a moron, I think.
Yeah, he's a moron. It's toxic masculinity.
Yeah, this is where Batman gives Detective Allen the huge PDA, and he's like, there's encrypted wire transfers that someone hired a guy to shoot a mayor. You know, because I guess in the payment memo, he was like, he wrote like, kill this mayor. You never want to put that in the memo. And then, like, there's trains going by where the lieutenant's motorcade is going, and there's multiple trains, and I think Alfred is like, it's unlikely that he would want to fire from a 60-mile-an-hour moving train, but that's exactly what he wants to do, and I think he wants to fire the shot through another train or something. It's like another ridiculous, insanely difficult shot. But somehow Batman is able to time it such that he's able to deflect the bullet with his gauntlet, I guess. He just sort of smacks it out of the way. And then they fight in the tunnel on top of the train that Deadshot was on. Deadshot explains to Batman that really Batman is the target. They just knew that he would come down to protect Lieutenant Gordon. And then Deadshot has this insane twin barrel gun on his wrist that he is firing at Batman in the middle of the fight. Let's see. Yeah, he doesn't know where Batman fell, and so Batman is able to, like, get the upper hand. And what Batman does here is very funny. He's, like, holding his head, and Deadshot is scared, but he holds his head just close enough to, like, part of the tunnel architecture that it, like, knocks off Deadshot's helmet. And I thought that was irresponsible and dangerous and very cool that he did that. Did you guys notice that?
No. I don't remember much from this one, man.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh. I liked it.
By the time we got to this one, I was like, this is a lot of Batman.
Yeah.
So I don't remember too much about the fight. I do remember that Deadshot then turns into, like, a little whiny.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. If,
like,
if you have a big...
Don't kill me.
And he says, I was just doing my job. He's at the Nuremberg trials. But yeah, Batman basically holds his head against, like, a part of the tunnel that comes by and clips off his helmet. It's very precise intimidation. And then he knocks his ass out. So Deadshot is apprehended. The stupid golf guy is arrested. And when he's being shot at, Bruce back at the mansion says to Alfred that he's been trying to stop those two bullets his whole life. And then Alfred's like, yeah, maybe you have a higher purpose in life. And then Bruce is just looking at the bat signal because his dumb ass still wants to go out there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All his injuries and shit.
You need healing, Bruce Wayne.
Oh, also, wasn't Bruce Wayne wearing a real fuckboy outfit when he was in India? Did you guys catch that? He has this like huge necklace. It's a very open button-down shirt. He's got like
it's
circle.
Hot there. He's trying to deal with the humidity.
I don't know.
But that's also, he was trying to get it in with Cassandra.
He did a really poor job of it.
Yeah, he did.
Wow, there's actually trivia here.
But you're right, yeah, he's got
here.
Like this big ass necklace. He looked like a tourist. He had a really bright shirt.
Yeah, I think he was trying to blend in. That's like, I think that's not what he would normally wear, but he was trying to not blend in, but he was trying to just be like, I'm just a tourist.
True.
Don't mind me.
I don't know.
Apparently,
I've consumed too much Batman content in my life now. Like,
no, you're wrong.
Keaton, Kilmer, Clooney, Bale, the animated series.
Did you see The Batman with Robert Pattinson?
No, it's too much. I've read most of the big trades.
I haven't read all of them. I've read a bunch, but I'd like to read more. I'm interested in this Gotham Central you speak of.
It's good, but it didn't sell well, so it didn't, like, they couldn't finish it.
Oh, that sucks. Never mind. I don't want to read something unfinished.
Yeah.
I was a Spider-Man kid. Batman was okay.
Oh, Batman's good. Apparently the director of the Working Through the Pain segment wanted to move the flashback scene to Japan.
Mm.
But the producers were like, no, leave it in India because it's another exotic place. We mm-hmm. want a diverse set of exotic locales that Batman has trained in, according to IMDb trivia.
Cool. It would be cool if it was Japan.
Yeah, let something them get Japan, one off.
Since, you know, it's being made in Japan.
And even though there is a director credited for the last segment, the Deadshot segment, supposedly that is ghost directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, who did Cyber City 080 808, Vampire Ooh. Hunter D Bloodlust, bunch of stuff. I don't know how anyone knows that. It says that it's uncredited. But maybe he came out and was like, it was me, I did it. So, yeah. Right. Overall, I liked it. I don't want to call it a mixed bag because I think that's an easy thing to say about an anthology. I think it was mostly good and it didn't make me think about Batman again, and I like Batman.
I thought no, it was okay.
It did the opposite for me.
I would rather watch any other Batman thing.
Really?
Yeah, this is, I think, the worst Batman thing I've seen.
Oh,
that's
my
opinion.
Gosh.
Well, then we won't watch Batman Ninja, which apparently people say is...
bad?
The ratings I looked at from users seem to suggest that it is not as good as this one.
Okay. This made me realize that I'm not ready to watch more Batman.
All right. Well, you're all nerds. I think I forgot to also mention that Production IG did Crossfire, the second one, and they did Ghost in the Shell. They've collaborated with Mamoru Oshii a bunch. And this last segment was done by Madhouse, who, as I said, did a bunch of the Satoshi Kon stuff, and they also did the underground one where he fights a killer croc and sets his breath on fire or something.
Mm.
Overall, I think Madhouse is the winner. I think they had the best looking segments. And
oh,
I
think
will
it's
never
4C. 4C.
That's really weird. But you're allowed to think that. They are very distinctive. I don't know if I'll call them a singular look, you know? I don't know if I'll say they are. Are they the most unique?
No.
Miles?
Come on. They can't. No.
Anyway, it was pretty good. Let's talk about what we're going to watch next week, because I think either we should jump to Rohan at the Louvre or we go right into our next few Patreon picks because we got a bunch.
Let's do some Patreon picks.
How many okay. Patreon picks are there?
Four.
Okay. And have they all been selected?
Yes.
So let's do two, then Rohan at the Louvre, then another two.
Okay. Next week, we are going to watch Gundam, Char's Counterattack.
Another Gundam?
It's the movie that capped off the original Gundam series. It's about Char. People really like it.
I think I like Char. I don't know. I've seen him enough that I'm like, all right, I know you.
I was hoping I'd get a big groan out of you, especially when you opted to watch the next Patreon pick. It is 2 hours long.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It's a movie? It's a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay.
Char's Counterattack. It's apparently in a weird spot on Crunchyroll. Like, it might be you have to go to the original, like, Gundam series listing and then, like, look for it within that. Like, it's not its own thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But yeah, Char's Counterattack. Oh, is it?
Oh, it's all also right. on Crunchyroll. That's good. Okay. Oh, Christian fucking loves Gundam, man.
He does. He does. He just bought a kit to build Char's Zaku. Yeah, okay. So what you do is you look up Mobile Suit Gundam, the original one, and then when you click on the season dropdown, it shows you Mobile Suit Gundam Char's Counterattack, as though it's a separate episode.
All right.
Let's get out of here, everybody. Remember, stay out of the narrows or something. Good night.
I work through pain.
Bye.
Thank you.